Hello neighbors, welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. If you think of a place as being Love Central, what kind of business do you envision? Is it a place you'd take your grandmother or your grandchildren? But have you ever thought of a food store and cafe as that? Well, think again. Today we look at the retailing and production side of food. I talk with two entrepreneurs, one who helped to set up a popular food store and cafe in downtown St. John's, and one who developed jams and more from his location in Forto, Labrador. What role do such businesses play? Recognizing that people use food not just as nutrition, but also as a link to their past and to their community identity.
It's a real meeting place, and we like to think of us as sort of Love Central. Food is comfort for a lot of people and is reminiscent of old times, so it is a bit like trying to turn a big ship to try to get people to eat more plant-based food.
We've got to really start to concentrate on what we have at hand and see what we can do better with them. If we'd have spent half as much energy doing work on the partridge berries than we did with the cranberries, we'd be a lot further off.
Both of my guests today have walked that line between celebrating local products and introducing new ideas from outside. We start on historic Water Street in St. John's. We're upstairs at one of the local businesses with the charmingly creaky wooden floors, the smell of strong coffee, and the bustle of an active retail space below. There's lots of room. Pull up a chair and join us.
I'm Kelly Mansell. I'm one of the owners here at Rocket Bakery and Fresh Food down on Water Street in St. John's.
And you are, I suppose, you could be said, an institution on this street at this point. What, tell us a bit more about that for people who aren't from St. John's or who have never been here.
Right. Well, Rocket is kind of a community hub. We have a great dining room called the Orbit Room, and that's where you have families meeting, business meetings, university students chatting about studying and all that kind of thing. It's a real meeting place, and we like to think of us as sort of Love Central downtown here because we have weddings and we have first dates and anniversaries here. So we call it Love Central. It's where it happens. Love happens, but it's also downtown.
Yeah. So you can have a little package. You could have your first date here and then have your wedding here and then your anniversary ever after.
Yeah, exactly. And people do that. It's really amazing. Yeah, they do that.
So how does that all relate to food? Because sometimes people would think of you as a food establishment as opposed to Love Central.
Well, we offer something for everyone. I think that's been the key to our success so far in that we take care with the coffee. We have various baked goods and bread that we bake every night, and then we also have the fresh food side of things. In terms of fresh food, there's something for everyone. People who are vegans, people who can't have gluten and all that kind of thing. So,
what was your path to opening this place? How did you get into food services area?
Well, we ended up, none of us had done this before. I was an account director at a PR agency in Toronto and had the Pepsi business, our agency did, and I was in charge of it. And this is a Pepsi province. So I was here for work, but also Dave, my now partner, was here and we came to visit him. And, you know, we'd been here quite a few times. So, and my husband was in film, a decorator, and Dave was here and he was an entrepreneur. And he was the one that noticed this building was coming up for lease. Our landlord, Janet Kelly, was closing her business. So he said there was an opportunity in the market. And he just called and said, you guys want to come and do this? And we were like, sure, why not? And we just turned 50. And I don't know, we were looking for an adventure and we got one.
There's a lot of discussion around food here in this province. It's increased, I think. I don't know if you've had that same perception in the last decade or something like that. What's the role of a business like yourself in terms of that whole discussion?
Gee, like for us, our preference would be to have as much local food on our menu as possible. And there's this wonderful period of the year when we get the vegetables and so forth from two different farms, one in Whitburn and one in Portugal Cove. And it's fabulous, you know, it's like a relief when we start to, you know, use the food. And it goes quite long into the fall for us. There's definitely a market for local food, for sure. People love that it's, especially the root vegetables, you know, we use right through. It's great to be able to say it's local. People want it, and I think there's a market. market for it. And I think like we should just be greenhousing the whole island and wind farming and all that stuff. We have the opportunity and I think we should pursue it.
Do your customers talk to you about the food? Do you have a sense of what they want out of their food?
Well, I would love to move to more vegan or plant-based food. I find it a bit of a battle here because, you know, food is comfort for a lot of people and food is reminiscent of family and old times and so forth. So it is a bit like trying to turn a big ship to try to get people to eat more plant-based food. We do offer as much as we can, but we do have to cater to what people want, which is a little more white bread than we'd like. Fish cakes are our number one seller. People love our fish cakes. Yeah. We've sold over 136,000 since we opened.
That should be on your, like, little
Yeah, exactly. And that's really great. Like, that's a local product. It's something that people from here really appreciate because it's got a great taste. We've had a lot of compliments that it tastes like their Nan's. Yeah, you know, that's and that's the best, highest praise as far as I'm concerned. It's also really interesting for tourists. In fact, we've developed an experience at the urging of the Ministry of Tourism to come up with experiences because that's what tourists want. And we have now a fish cakes and accordions experience that tourists can purchase. And we partnered with O'Brien's Music to present that. Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And you have for a long time had a session here once a week.
Yes. Yeah. People enjoy coming to the kitchen party and, you know, not necessarily connected with food, but it is definitely a community hub. I always say that our customers are accustomed to crazy things going on. Like if there were acrobats swinging through the rafters, no one would blink an eye. But yeah, we do everything from book signings to new product launches to circus performances in the window, roller derby sponsorships. And like there's always something going on. And we really like it. I find that artists in particular recognize that if we support them, that they want to support us because if someone buys a coffee because we're giving them space or something like that, I find artists in particular understand that business arts symbiosis, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. And how the local dollars then circulate locally and stay here.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And we employ 45 people, so it's really great when folks do support us, you know, because it's not coming out of a bucket from Ontario.
Yeah, yeah,
you know
what
I mean? Yeah, like we're making it all here. And
you're talking a bit about different menu items. Do you keep trying to introduce new things as you go?
We do try new things all the time, but I have to say it's not our top seller. Like the plant-based food is not our top seller. Fish cakes and soup are our top sellers, which is good because most of our soups are vegan. Most of our soups don't have flour in them. We are trying new things all the time. I'm the one pushing, you know, that more healthy, because that's the way I like to eat. I like to eat like bowls and things with rice and tofu and all that. That's how I like to eat. But I know I'm in the minority. So, you know, we try to offer what we can and hope that people start to like that kind of food, you know, but we offer everything. And I guess that whole moderation, giving people choice. In fact, we call the bakery the fun side of Rocket because having maybe a cookie after you've eaten something healthy like a soup or whatever.
Is there something, some kind of music that you like to listen to as you're working?
I'm a big fan of Sherman Downey. I was a fan of his before I even thought about moving to Newfoundland. And I remember while we were doing construction here at Rocket, I found out that he was next door at what used to be Velma's. And I took over a bag of cookies. I said, oh my God, I'm such a fan. Anyway, and he's played here in the Rocket Room ever since. Okay. But Sherman Downey is like one of my...
Is there any particular song from Sherman?
It's something like about the windowsill. That bees, the bee for the whatever
bees
album was
honey.
Like, Bees for Honey is awesome.
Yeah.
Someday the wind will blow my blues away. You've been on my mind, you've been on my mind. Yeah, you've been on my mind, baby, all the time. Well, I bet you $5 I know your favorite color. Bet you five more by Saturday. You're gonna change it to another. Put those blues away. You've been on my mind, you've been on my mind. get your mama sitting next to me and cuddling. What's the good in loving if you ain't sending loving my way? And if the suits you fine, I'd like to slip under the covers, maybe drink a little wine for the drifters and the lovers. What's the good in loving if you ain't sending loving my way?
Sherman Downey with the song Windowsill. And yes, we were both wrong about the CD title. It's not Bees for Honey, it's Honey for Bees. We'll head back to my chat with Kelly Mansell of Rocket Bakery and Fresh Food on Water Street in St. John's. There's this real drive right now to increase food production in the province. Part of that is new farmers, but part of it is new processors. There's like one cheesemaker. You mentioned tofu. I suppose there's no tofu makers in the province. Mm-mm. And so on. Are you optimistic about all that?
Oh, yeah, I definitely. Man, people really support those companies that are trying, like Five Brothers Cheese and any company like that, I find. Like, you can just go to the farmer's market and see the lineups for local producers. It's awesome. I think there's so much room and there's so much opportunity in this province. You know, we moved here and brought our two sons and cat, and it was because we saw so much opportunity to try something new and different. And yeah, I think the possibilities are endless here.
Where do you get your inspiration when you're thinking about another season?
Probably you can tell from my accent that I'm from Toronto.
There's no such thing as a Toronto accent. Come on.
Well, you know, so I spend a lot of time at home, mm-hmm. and I like to travel to the States, even though it's a scary time right now. Mm-hmm. I do like to go to big cities and see what's going on. And I do research wherever I am.
What are some of your favorite Newfoundland foods?
Well, I haven't acquired a taste for rabbit yet. I had a friend who gave me a rabbit in a jar, and I just can't bring myself to open it. But, you know, I really like moose, and that was something I hadn't tried before I moved here. And we had venison the other night, and any kind of fish.
Yeah. In terms of vegetables, are there, like, certain root vegetables that they should taste sweeter
liked,
here?
I always liked root vegetables, but, you know, like cabbage and all that stuff I really like. Yeah. Parsnips. Roasting anything like that is awesome.
If you talk to a young farmer who's interested in selling something to you, I mean, what kind of advice do you give them? Because you have to make money in order to farm.
Well, it's interesting you should ask that question, because our chef, Daryl Hammond, meets with Brian Kowalski from Marie Meadows Farm before the season starts, and he chooses what vegetables he'd like Brian to plant, because we know what we like. We sell a ton of kale, like tons, and potatoes, tomatoes, like... So he does work with Brian on what he plants. Mm-hmm. And my son, Jesse, has been a farm apprentice the last 2 years there. Mm-hmm. And he tells me just about how much work it is. Like, to have an organic farm is such a wonderful goal, but you have to work so much harder. Yeah. And we're trying to support those farmers that are making that effort, because it's better for us that it's organic. And, you know, we have to pay the prices. You have to pay the farmers because... Yeah. Yeah. They have to make a living wage. And
there's this move toward people buying more ready-to-eat food. You provide some ready-to-eat food here as well, but you also model certain new ways to prepare food. In our culture, are people kind of losing the ability to cook for themselves anymore?
Well, I know the market for HMRs, which is home meal replacements, is just growing and growing and growing. And I don't know if it's because people are more time-crunched or whatever. I mean, from an economic perspective, there's definitely opportunities there for Rocket to get into that market. And I know that a lot of our colleagues in the business do have those things happening. It may be that, you know, people are losing their ability to cook. I know, like, I really don't like to cook anymore, but my husband does. Is it a sad reality? Yes, but I think the pendulum will swing back again too, because I think people meeting and socializing over meals is what really is valuable in terms of society. So
we've had this drive to increase food production. You know, sometimes when they talk about that, they talk about farmers or people with soil under their fingernails, and they don't necessarily talk about the whole network of businesses and retail enterprises. Do you feel like you're a part of that building of agriculture and food in this province?
Oh, I would say definitely. I mean, like I say, we do take food from two farms, one in Whitburn and one in Portugal Cove. We've also taken our coffee grounds and eggshells and given it to the farmer that's in Whitburn so they can spread it on their field. You know, that kind of thing is what really interests us. And I think, you know, the amount of fish that we go through true. It's obvious that we're keeping someone busy out there fishing.
Right, that's right. Is it hard to get access to a local fish? Has it been a bit of a challenge sometimes?
You know, the people that are behind Fishing for Success and Petty Harbor are really gunning for allowing us to get out every day of the week rather than you know, because tourists come and they're like, what do you mean we can only go Thursday, Friday, Saturday or whatever, you know? We need to ask the government to allow more fishing because there's a desire for that kind of fish. Yeah. And I think more people would like to be involved in the fishery. And, you know, Fishing for Success is all about trying to connect youth with their fishing heritage because it sort of skipped a generation because of the moratorium. But
it kind of recovers, as you say, part of the past. And that's true in agriculture, too, where people have stopped, but then they started backyard gardens.
Yeah. And I think that's amazing. Yeah. And beehives, and, you know, like, and chickens. I've got friends that have chickens. And I think we have to bring it on. And
thanks for taking the time.
You're welcome. It's great talking to you.
All the best.
Yes, you too.
Windowsill by Sherman Downey, helped out by his much-missed band, The Ambiguous Case, as requested by my first guest, Kelly Mansell. The Pure Labrador Company is no longer active, but it was a major presence throughout the province and beyond for a couple of decades. I met up with the entrepreneur who set it up at one of his current businesses, which is totally unrelated to jam. He works with his son at a zip line.
So I'm here with Stellman Flynn. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much.
So you were talking a minute ago about kind of your history of getting into food. How did you start?
Growing up, my mother was ill, and I spent a lot of time helping in the kitchen because there was a family of eight, and my father ran a grocery store, actually, and we had lots of visitors because then in rural Newfoundland, Labrador, of course, the grocery store closed at lunchtime, and whoever was in the store came up for lunch. So I'd help my mother around the kitchen, who was quite a good cook. And from there, I guess that's where I got my interest, and I went on to study at the College of Trades and Technology at that point. And from there, went to work with a chap in Gander when I graduated, and decided at the age of 19 I wanted to open my own business. And I remember my father looking at me and saying, Stellman, you're crazy for doing this. But I went on. Of course, being 19, you didn't listen to your parents. You knew better then. But we went on from there, and gradually built the business. I tried not to overextend myself at any point in time. So, you know, if you ran into a bad year, you could find the resources somewhere to keep the banks happy.
Yeah.
So we were very cautious. So we went from a takeout to a restaurant, then on to a grocery store, which was a great help in the restaurant because, you know, when these carrots started to spoil, you know, you chop them up and made soup or whatever in
carrot
the restaurant.
Carrot cakes on the menu.
Right. From there, there was a local festival known as the Bake Apple Folk Festival. They wanted to introduce a breakfast, and so I got involved with them and started doing up some recipes that we could use, from baked apple Totons to muffins to the baked apple syrup, the baked apple crepes for breakfast. So from there, we were getting a lot of requests. Well, Stephen, why don't you put this on the store shelves? So with the support of the Marine Institute, some professional help, because we need that, don't be afraid to ask. There are lots of help out there if you ask for it.
Yeah, yeah.
It may not be sometimes what we want to hear, but that's fine. Listen to these negative comments too, but they certainly helped me along with that.
Yeah.
We just grew it from there, and we operated a plant for 20 years, and I think we did some innovative stuff. I work with the local heritage group. One of the issues I had is that the baked apple or cloudberry is not known very well in Atlantic Canada. So when we went into the Nova Scotia market, we actually produced our own cookbook to go along with the products that we're developing. And I might add, and I know I'm biased on this, it's a very nice book, and it's a Canadian bestseller by now. I don't
really know. How many copies?
We've sold about 25,000 copies.
25,000? That's more than the number of baked apples there are in Labrador.
You'll be surprised.
Yeah. And this is all out of Forto, is that right?
That was all out of Forto, Labrador.
I wish I had a pint of berries for every time I heard somebody say berries is an important area of food processing development. Now, you've been in it, and you know some of the challenges. If you were to start again, would you do something differently?
Yeah, I would have made it bigger. Yeah. I think one of the issues that I had, the berries are obviously picked by hand. When we got them in the plant, there's still some cleaning that you would have to do.
Yeah.
And that's all done by hand.
Yeah.
And then you take the seeds out and the pulp out. That's all done by hand. You make the jam in a 20-gallon kettle, or that's what we use. You poured it by hand. You capped it by hand. You labeled it by hand. You put it in a box by hand. It was just too labor intensified. You're already working with an expensive raw product, and once you start putting it and going through that process of raw product to a finished product, there's a lot of steps in between. And I think I added up one day, from the time we bring a bottle into the warehouse until we actually ship it out of the warehouse full of jam, you handle these bottles like 30 times. It's too much hassle. And so obviously we've got to cut down on that, but would I do it again? Absolutely. I think I, like I said, would have automated a bit more.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself. When I was thinking of music for this segment, all I could think of was that old song, Blueberry Hill. It was done here by Little Richard. I'm speaking with Stellman Flynn, who's the entrepreneur behind Pure Labrador Products. We start off the second section about the need in this province to do more secondary processing of our raw materials.
I'm a strong believer that we have enough raw products in this province that if we took time to process them to a table-ready product, and if we can provide, I don't know if incentive is the word, or if we can provide a vision that, whether that's fish coming out of the water, that a certain percentage of that has to be table-ready so that you can pop it in a microwave when you come home for a busy day before it's shipped out of the province, I think we'd be well on the way to economic recovery. I know there would be backlash from, probably processors that, listen, we're going to start off here. You're going to do 25% of your raw product that you're shipping out now in bulk to be processed. I know there would be some resentment to that, but from an employment point of view, I think it would be a great opportunity for this province to actually find full and plenty of employment. And I'm speaking about fish there. We do that with our berries.
Yeah.
We do that with our peat moss. You do that with the caribou moss. I really think that we have more opportunities, and we've got to really start to concentrate on what we have at hand and see what we can do better with them. And you only get to look at what Sweden and Norway are doing. When I go there and I can buy baked apple candy or partridge berry candy, you know, partridge berry mousse, and every restaurant will have something on their menu that has those berries in.
You're right in the middle of the raw material, but one of the challenges is getting that raw material from the plant to your plant. When we're looking at berries as a crop, is the labor, how are we doing on that? Is that one of the challenges?
Well, someone said, you know, we've got a high unemployment rate in this province, and we do, and it's nothing to laugh at. But I think we might as well face facts. If we're going to be into producing food for the nations, then the labor side of that, unfortunately, is not going to be a $150,000 a year job. We are competing in the global market. For example, I can buy berries from China delivered to Cornerbrook for $1.50 a pound, partridge berries. And, you know, I think we're paying like $2.50, and then they've got to be cleaned, they've got to be sorted. You know, so it's costing me $3.50, $4 a pound. And if you can get them come from China at half the price, you know, I had a major international company approach me to supply them with their North American berries, baked apples, partridge berries, blueberries. It was a $15 million annual contract. And there were a number of reasons why I backed out. I mean, what it came down to at the end of the day, they demanded local berries. Government today don't know the volume of berries that's picked in this province. You know, you invest $5 million in a plant and then discover that there's only a $500,000 pounds picked and you needed a million. Guess what?
Are there any synchronicities or connections between the work that's done with cranberries, for example, with partridge berries? Is there a
partridge berry is a cousin of the cranberry. Yeah. If we'd have spent half as much energy doing work on the partridge berry, which is a natural berry to this province in more abundance than we did with the cranberries, we'd be a lot further off. You know, we spent millions researching cranberries, which are really not native to this province. Yeah. When you had a cousin that was native to this province, that if we'd have put that kind of energy into doing something with it, we'd be a lot further ahead.
With blueberries, they've made that into a crop, basically, and it's a little bit more like agriculture. Mm-hmm. Is that possible with partridge berries or with baked apple? Can you put them growing on a commercial basis?
I think you could possibly do it with partridge berries. I don't see that with baked apples. Yeah. The problem with baked apple, each berry has its own plant. You might have a barren that's full of male plants, or you might have a barren that's full of female plants. So we swear on the flies at times, but that's maybe the reason why they're important in Southern Labrador if we're going to get baked apples.
So you're saying save the black flies.
Save the black flies. Why not?
When you talk to people who ate your product or bought it, what were they looking for? Like, what do people want in their food or not in their food?
Probably not in their food. It's interesting because one of the issues that I came across first when I started and to the end, Health Canada will not allow you to call it a jam if it doesn't have 65% brick, which really means 65% sugar. So the traditional baked apple one that we did had 33% brick, which was natural sugar and added sugar. And if you go and pick up a bottle of jam here, the first ingredient is listed as the berries. But following the berries, there's sugar, there's fructose, there's glucose. But because they might be 33% sugar and 20% this and 15% of something else, but this is a regulation. And as a people, we are of the mindset that jam is better than a spread. But in actual fact, the federal government dictates you cannot call it a jam for that particular reason.
Can you actually say this is better for you than jam?
Well, you can certainly say this has less sugar than jam. I'm not sure if you can say it's actually better for you.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for taking your time.
Thanks. Thanks. A pleasure.
Finally, we found a purpose for the black flies. They help to make baked apples possible, but they also help to make it almost impossible some days to harvest the baked apples. That was Stellman Flynn. We'll hear more from that interview in a later episode.
There are lots of help out there if you ask for it. It may not be sometimes what we want to hear.
I think the possibilities are endless here. We have to bring it on. I think people meeting and socializing over meals is what really is valuable in terms of society.
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. To listen to other episodes of this show or for more information, go to fittoeatnl.ca. The songs for today's show were Windowsill by Sherman Downey and Blueberry Hill by Little Richard. The theme music, Cluckold Hen, was performed this week by Appalachian musician Dirk Powell. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. Happy trails.
It's not coming out of a bucket from Ontario.
Yeah. Save black flies, why not?